You're listening to the AHDB podcast, practical know-how to help your farm business. In this episode, Steve West from AHDB talks to Lloyd Holterman from Rosie Lane Holsteins in Wisconsin, USA. Lloyd and his wife Daphne are globally recognised as exceptional dairy producers who consistently achieve excellences within both their business performance and cow management. They put this down to their strong business ethos: great people, great cows, great returns. Steve talks to Lloyd about the five non-negotiables of managing dairy cows, and we find out more about the similarities and differences between US farming and dairy farming in this country.
So we welcome Lloyd Holterman here today. Hello, can you give us a quick overview of your farm, Rosie Lane?
Rosie Lane Holsteins is in Watertown, Wisconsin, which is in the southeastern corner of our state, right in the middle of the United States, in the northern part, of course. But we milk 1,100 cows and farm 1,800 acres. We employ 20 people, and there's four of us that are business partners.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, we've been running these meetings on the five non-negotiables of managing the modern dairy cow. As you've stated, those non-negotiables are great people, measure, finances and record keeping, genetic excellence, and biosecurity and disease control. So you've mentioned people as being one of your non-negotiables. How has that impacted on your dairy business?
Well, we need the best people, and we hire by attitude. And hiring attitude, I mean the people that are naturally inclined to say, yes, I can do it. Yes, I want to do it, and I want to be a valuable part of this team. And then we train them from there, because most people that work on our dairy have never worked with cattle or in an agricultural business before.
Excellent. And what about promotion of those people?
Well, we promote from within. People that are really motivated are easy to promote, because they can do any job, and if a person believes they can advance and are interested in a different part of our business, we try to make that happen for them, because we want a happy and motivated workforce. Not only that, we want these people to make a lot of money, so it's our job to find the jobs that they have the most impact and become the most valuable in.
Excellent. And with people in mind, having a large dairy business, it must be a bit of a challenge to get a consistency of approach to every different job. How do you achieve that?
We have standard operating procedures for every job on the farm, and we do spend a lot of time training. We also spend a lot of time team building. So people are working with different people throughout the day, seeing what's going on in the business. If you're a new employee, you're going to start out milking, but you're going to maybe eat lunch with two or three people from different departments and different places, so you can get to know everybody on the team and what they do. And then we try to get you out into different areas so that you can find things that you like to do besides milking cows or just moving cattle.
Your second non-negotiable you've stated as being measure. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, we measure everything that comes into the farm and goes out of the farm, and we measure our cropping, nutrients on and crop off. The rainfall gets measured, the manure per acre gets measured, every nutrient, and then we measure the feed coming in, then we measure how much goes to the cows, how much goes to the heifers, and we can see what the yields are and what the differences are. That you need good numbers to really make good decisions. And so measure is really, really critically important. It's the building blocks of a successful business.
And what about measuring yourself up against other businesses?
We benchmark quite a bit. We're in a benchmark group with 14 other farms. Most of the farms are in New York State, which is quite a ways away from us. But they're from different regions of the country also. So we compare we compare 117 different both financial and management metrics, and the result of this has been all 14 farms have advanced very quickly and taken the strengths and copied each other's strengths and minimized each other's weaknesses.
Excellent. So moving on, and related, I suspect, you talk about finances and record keeping as being important within your business. How has scrutinizing your business and being transparent with your finances, how has that helped with your lending from the banks?
Well, I think it gives the banker greater confidence in our ability to pay back, because we have monthly balance sheets and profit and loss statements where we know what our inventories are, and we can easily project out our cash flow position and our equity position each month. We know the value of our stock. So it's given us an advantage in that we can borrow money ahead, so we can take action really quickly if an opportunity arises and we know that the money will be there.
Excellent. And a lot of farms will look to Rosie Lane as a very high genetic merit herd. And you've put genetic excellence as a key non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. How does genetic excellence apply to Rosie Lane?
Well, we want a long-lived, low problem herd. So not only do we want high fat and protein production for the making of cheese, but we want cows that live a long time and produce at a high level for up to 6, 7, 8 lactations or even more if possible. So our breeding criteria is quite a bit different. We've bred cows that are shorter, wider, and rounder, and calve easier, and breed back faster. And those have been the criteria we put into our breeding program since 1992, or 27 years. So that gives us a leg up right now, because we didn't think we were going to get much return in the long run by selling high type animals, and that has come true, where the market for the high health animals is equal to or greater than the high type animals that used to bring a lot of money. So there can be differences. We used to use type, breeding for type to get these cows to last longer. Now we're breeding directly for productive life, daughter pregnancy rate, calving ease. We're breeding against lameness and against mastitis to achieve better results.
Excellent. And what measures for length of life could we utilize here in the UK?
Well, productive life is what we use, and so basically what that tells us, if a bull is 9, that means that his daughters should last, his genetic contribution to his daughters will be 9 months, and then the dam has to contribute also, and on average, you're going to be average. So if you have a cow and a bull both at 9, that means that their offspring should produce milk 9 months longer than an average cow in the UK. That's huge, because that's where you start to genetically reduce your culling and get these cows to last longer, produce higher, and make more profit.
Have you seen any reduction in disease as a result of your breeding?
Yes, dramatic. By breeding for productive life for 27 years, which is approximately 8 generations, we have been able to reduce ketosis to 0. We haven't had a milk fever in 5 years. We're getting more live calves. Our DOA rate's down to 3.3%. Mastitis incidence is very, very low, only 23 cases of mastitis all last year on 950 cows milking at all times. We only had 3 DAs out of 1,300 calvings. That means that our program's working. Yes, we've improved our management, but I think we've improved our genetics at a much higher rate, and therefore I give it more credit for these reduction in disease.
So here in the UK, how can farmers utilize length of life, fertility, and say yield all in one measure?
Well, I really like your average daily lifetime yield. The way you look at it here is much better than the way we look at it in the U.S. Take the total days of life and their total production and do the math. After first lactation, our average daily yield would only be 10.2 liters. But when we get up to as high as fifth and sixth lactation, it's over 27 liters per cow. And that is very powerful. It shows you it gives you an idea of how much more money you're going to make, plus you save a full replacement. So I think what it does put in perspective also is that if a cow makes 100,000 tons, did it take her 10 years to do it or just 6 years to do it? There's a big difference economically in those two cows.
Thank you. So lastly, your fifth non-negotiable you stated as being biosecurity and disease control. How does this apply to Rosie Lane?
Well, we used to ship cows for Yoni's disease. Now, one time we had Staph aureus and mycoplasma. We have eliminated all three of those diseases. That makes our life a lot easier because with Staph aureus, we'd still be using antibiotics or if we had some strep mastitis. With Yoni's disease, we're able to use a vaccine, which is a huge advantage over what the regulations are here. We shipped zero cows for Yoni's last year and our bulk tank test negative. Therefore, we're eliminating a lot of testing costs and a lot of time and labor maintaining two calving pens. In the case of tuberculosis, we're in a tuberculosis-free state, so we probably don't worry about tuberculosis, maybe like we should, and that's what I'm learning over here, and that's a whole different can of worms in itself, and I don't envy the producers here that have to deal with a TB eradication program because it's very difficult and it's having a horrible economic effect on the farms.
So Lloyd, the UK and the USA are very different markets, and what differences have you seen in general in both dairy farming and the markets that we've got between our two countries?
Well, and on the dairy farming part of it, in our part of the country, grain is so cheap that we would use the forages more as a carrier for the grain and get the milk more out of the grain. We feed rations that are only 45% forage on a dry matter basis, and they're quite profitable. Where here, grain is quite high priced because you're not growing it locally like we're able to do. The other thing is you get a lot more milk out of your grasses because you've developed excellent grasses, and you can get a lot of dry matter yield that we would not be able to get in our part of the country because our growing season is so short. Where you have almost a year-round growing season, at least it seems like there's green grass every month of the year here, where we would have 2 feet of snow covering our grass if we tried doing that. So there's some differences there. On the marketing side, or in the market, I think you have direct contracts with your grocery store chains, which I don't know any producers in the U.S. that have that. So ours is more of a broken supply chain, or more steps in a supply chain, not really broken, but more steps, where we sell to the processor goes through maybe another middleman to get to the grocery store. And so we have a three-step process where you're cutting out your processing, but maybe have a direct contract with your customer. That's something that I'm watching with a lot of interest to see if it's actually more profitable than what we're doing. We do have quite a bit of competition for milk. We have at least 7 different processors competing for milk, and I believe that there's like 2 or 3 grocery chains that are competing for your milk. So some differences there, definitely. Which system is more profitable for the dairy producer, I really don't know.
Excellent. So our national herd is generally staying relatively static in terms of cow numbers, but we're seeing herds tend to be getting larger some producers selling up. How does that compare to the U.S.?
Yeah, we're consolidating our herd sizes in the U.S. at a very rapid pace. Right now, 80% of the milk in the United States is produced by 20% of the producers. So that 80-20 rule is alive and well, and I don't know what it would be here, but I imagine that it's just a natural progression of capitalism, that the strongest people move forward and the others exit the business without replacements coming in. So that's just kind of, but we're consolidating at a very fast rate. There's several herds in the United States now where an ownership group would own over 40,000 cows. That's a lot different because we have not had quotas that really protected price. People need to consolidate their businesses to gain efficiencies. So that's quite a bit different. I would say that I would guess that we're consolidating at a more rapid pace. But now with Brexit and things like that, I think farms are going to have to look at working more together, maybe not own each other, have the same ownership structure, but share equipment, share resources across farms to lower costs. So that's a way of consolidation in its own way.
So thank you very much, Lloyd. Thank you for your time for this whole series of meetings and for your time today. And we wish you a very safe trip home.
Well, I've really enjoyed my trip here to the United Kingdom, and I've seen a good share of the countryside and deep history and a deep commitment to excellence that the British people have. It's very impressive, and I'm sure now with the Brexit thing that you'll make the best of every opportunities, because that's just in your culture. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Just to round things up, I just really wanted to point out to a lot of the farmers who've attended the meetings over this last fortnight. We have a huge amount of resources at AHDB. Everybody who milk records, and indeed a lot of herds that actually don't milk record, we have herd genetic reports which are available. You just need to contact us. They will show you what traits you can actually look at and improve within your herd. We have traits available for promoting longevity and health within the herd, and I think it's important that that everybody sees what's available to them. We also have a heifer cost rearing calculator, which will give you a good insight into the costs on your farm for rearing your heifers. And we have a sex semen calculator, which will look at the economics and justification of where to use sex semen and which animals to use it on. So please do get in touch with AHDB. We can offer some support and insight into some of the issues that Lloyd and Daphne have raised. For more information from AHDB Dairy, please go to our website www.ahdb.org.uk.
That's all for now. Thank you to Steve West and Lloyd for an interesting discussion this week. Don't forget to listen to our next podcast, which will explore the impact of weather on farmers and growers. We will be taking a look at the current conditions across the country and speak to farmers about their plans for this growing season. AHDB has a range of resources and experts available to help you manage whatever the weather.